I thanks the organizer for the opportunity of speaking in this conference. The subject of the talk is the graviton propagator, and this is part of my PhD thesis with Carlo Rovelli. Okay, let's start. We want to compute the tensorial structure. To the same, we want to extend the result of Bianchi, Modesto, Rovelli, and Speziale that have calculated the diagonal components of the graviton propagator. Now we want to compute this object, GQABCD, where ABCD are space-time indexes. We are Euclidean, so space four-dimensional space indexes. Q is the boundary geometry, and this is the object that we have to calculate. I don't enter in the details of the calculation because in the details of the strategy of the calculation, because Rovelli has just spoken about that. So directly, to first order in lambda, W of S is the dynamics of the theory, and is non-vanishing only if gamma is if S is this four simplex graph. This is a spin network on this four simplex graph, and without constraining the intertwiner variables here, we have 15 variables, 5 intertwiners and 10 spin as variables. Okay, so this is the object that we have to compute. There are three key ingredients that we have to calculate, and they are the propagation kernel here that codes the dynamics, the boundary states that picks the boundary states picked on the boundary geometry, and the quantum operators here, the graviton operators. Okay, everything is in terms of 15 variables, the 10 J's variables and the 5 intertwiner variables. Okay, the non-perturbative calculation is simpler if we project the space-time indexes here in the direction, in this, if we project with these normals here, where A is the space-time index and Ni is the direction of the normal to the triangle Tni, the triangle that bounds the tetrahedra N and the tetrahedra I. This is the picture of that explains our calculation. The green one is the four simplex spin network. It's dual of the four simplex space-time. On each node there's a tetrahedron, and each link here represents a face of the tetrahedron, and there's blue and black arrows are the direction where we project the tetrahedron. The diagonal terms was the picture of the diagonal terms was blue and black arrows in the same direction. Here we have all the possibilities. Okay, so we take the graviton and we recast it in terms of Ashtekar electric field, and we project this electric field in these directions, the normals to the triangles of each tetrahedra. This is the object that we have to calculate, and we have to understand now the action of these operators here on the spin network basis. Each I here is the is a grasping operator, so the double I here are the double, we can call them double grasping operators, and we can understand their action on the spin networks using the recoupling theory. The problem now is that when we deal with intertwiner, we have to pay attention to the fact that there are three different bases that doesn't commute, and each base diagonalizes a double grasping operator in some direction. So, summarizing, there are three possible types of action. This one, the diagonal one, the one used for the diagonal terms, that is this one. The operator is diagonal, and it reads it's the well-known Auer operator. It reads the Casimir of the double grasped link, and it reads the area of the triangle dual to this link. There are these other opportunities that is when we double grasp two different links that can be paired or not paired together. In this case, they are paired together and the action is still diagonal. In this other case, for example, they grasp two directions not paired together, and the resulting operator is not diagonal. The key feature here is that the coefficient d or x, y, z here are, in any case, they depends on the intertwiner variables. An important remark is that operators satisfy this closure relation exactly like they are the projection in the direction normals to each tetrahedra. The normals to a tetrahedra sum up to zero, the four normals, and this operator have these properties. Okay, this is the second ingredient here is the boundary states. And to compute the diagonal terms, it was enough to sufficient to consider these boundary states centered. It's a Gaussian centered around J0. J0 is the background value of the links, and it's determined by the boundary geometry. There's also this phi here that is a face, and it codes the extrinsic curvature of the given metric. It's the variable associated conjugate to the spin, and the other important thing is that here we have this matrix correlation that has three free parameters. Okay, the problem here is that the graviton operators call into play the intertwiners, so we have to introduce the intertwiners in the kinematic, at the kinematical level, in the boundary states. So this is a new state that has to show good semiclassical properties. It's the old Gaussian, but also with a Gaussian dependence on the intertwiner, centered around the background value of the intertwiner I0, and with a correlation term between intertwiners and links, and with a face associated to the intertwiner. Fixing these three parameters, I don't know why, but S, sigma, chi, and phi, we can obtain a good semiclassical state, because the problem here is that in the three bases, the psi has three different expressions, one related to each other by 6J symbols. But fixing these three parameters, we can obtain a good semiclassical state with good mean value and with vanishing relative uncertain. The state has good semiclassical properties, but it's not symmetric in the fluctuation. The state in different pairings, if the state has a different expression in different pairing, we could privilege one direction and we could break the symmetry of the space. So the solution is simply we symmetrize also on the three possible pairings. This is the state. So we are ready to make the calculation. In the calculation of the diagonal terms, we have used a Barrett-Crane vertex. This is the dynamics. W is the tangent symbol. And there was this map between SO4 simple representation and SU2 representation, because on the right we have states from quantum gravity that are SU2 states, and on the left we have SO4 dynamics. Using a similar map, we arrive. These are typical terms that we have to calculate. The important thing is that at the leading order for large J0 in the large J0 limit, these are the expression that we have to calculate. And now a moment here, we try to do the calculation in this way. This is the dominant term. These are the expression of the operators. We are interested in the large A0 limit, so we can take the here there is the tangent symbol. We know it's for large J0 in the large A0 limit. We know the expansion, and it involves a cosine of the regi action, and we can expand the regi action around the background metric using the boundary states. Now, the key feature of the diagonal terms was that the green rapidly oscillating phase term cancel or double with the rapidly oscillating terms that is in the boundary states. So at the end, only one of these two exponentials survives, and the one without oscillations. Now the problem is that to incorporate the right semi-classical behavior on the states, we have also this pink term here that is rapidly oscillating, but in the intertwiner variables. And the problem is that the Barrett-Crane model here hasn't, with the projection map that we have used, hasn't intertwiner dependence. So this is a rapidly oscillating terms, not suppressed, not compensated by the dynamic. In the dynamics doesn't speak with the intertwiners, and this phase term suppress this sum. We can try to proceed in any case to do the calculation, introducing this 15 components vector here, and recast the problem as with this expression. But the problem is this term here that is not compensated by the dynamic. If we do the calculation, we get, even considering the normalization, we get a sum of term of this kind, where the first one shows the good behavior, but the dominant term is this constant term. So we haven't we have a wrong large distance propagator. So a proposal. We simply assume that we can define a vertex with the same asymptotics of the Barrett-Crane vertex, but also with a dependence on the intertwiners I, and guided by the compensation present in the diagonal case, we put inside this vertex, experimental vertex, this phase here, able to compensate the phase present in the boundary states. It's reasonable to think also to a correlation between spin and intertwiners, but it's not crucial. In this way, this was the typical terms to calculate, and we can eliminate this term that was the problem and get a sum of term of this kind with the right large distance behavior. Okay. Now, to complete the tensorial structure, we have inside M, we have a combination of derivatives or regi action that are fixed, and also the terms in the correlation matrix of the Gaussian, and there are three parameters. So, let's try to compare the two tensorial structure. We are interested in the linearized theory. This is the graviton propagator in harmonic gauge and the linearized theory. To compare the two expression, the expression in the non-perturbative theory is projected in the direction normals to the triangle. We can take the linearized one and project it in the same direction, the same picture. And if we study the resulting tensor here is a tensor with a lot of symmetries, but using the closure relations, we can see that there are only 5 independent components in the linearized case. So if we are able with the non-perturbative theory to reproduce these 5 independent components, and our theory has the same symmetries of the linearized one, we are able to reproduce the linearized graviton propagator from loop quantum gravity. Do we have these 5 parameters? The answer is yes. There are 3 free parameters. The free parameters of the theory are contained in the boundary states, in the correlation matrix of the boundary states. To respect the symmetry of the problem, we have three possible correlation between links and links of this kind, of this kind, or of this other kind. And they have three parameters. We haven't fixed them. But to respect the symmetry of the problem, we have also two intertwiner-intertwiner correlation possible. But as we have seen, it was needed to fix the diagonal part of this correlation matrix between intertwiner and intertwiner, but there is also this the non-diagonal part of this matrix that can give us a free parameter, and the same is true for the correlation between intertwiners, nodes, and links. This one has to be fixed to reproduce the right classical behavior of the boundary states, but this is free. So at the end, we have five free parameters to fix five components. The linear structure is the same, and the symmetries of the two tensors are the same. So using a symmetrized Gaussian containing five free parameters in the boundary states, we can reproduce exactly the same tensorial structure and the same behavior of the linearized theory. So we can say that we have found the full graviton propagator from loop quantum gravity. Conclusions. We have to change the dynamics because the Barrett-Crane model has not intertwiner dependence, and using a Barrett-Crane vertex, we are not able to reproduce the right long distance behavior of the graviton propagator, but also there are problems in the two linear structure, and in this sense the Barrett-Crane vertex doesn't work. Simply assuming a vertex dependence with a non-trivial intertwiner, a vertex with non-trivial intertwiner dependence, at least in the asymptotics, it's possible to recover the full graviton propagator from the linearized theory, from loop quantum gravity. So this shows that using Rovelli techniques, we can compute scattering amplitudes in this background independent formalism. So there are still a lot of work to do. The first thing is to find a vertex able to reproduce the given asymptotics that could be the one introduced by Carlo, Engel, and Roberto. And then we are ready to calculate higher order terms and point function, possible modification to the Newtonian potential, the key point is that we are able to match the two theories, and the linearized one and the non-perturbative one. And the strong point of the non-perturbative one is that it's ultraviolet finite. So we have not the problems of renormalizability. And we are ready to look to what's happened. That's all.
The problem that you expressed about Barrett-Crane time, can be due also to the model state that we are using, and not only to the model Barrett-Crane?
The boundary states, it's not a clear point of the theory, in the sense that in the classical, in the quantum field theory, we have a good procedure to find these boundary states. It's the vacuum of the theory, it's the integral outside the boundary region, and it's a Gaussian. There we have a procedure. Here, there isn't a procedure. What we can say is that the boundary states has to reproduce in the semi-classical limit the given geometry. And the problem, in fact, in the calculation is the presence of this pink term here. But without this pink term, we are not able to center this Gaussian state around the good dihedral angle in three dimensions. So the problems came from this term. But without this term, there is not good semi-classical behavior of the state. But even not considering this term, I don't know, changing boundary states. The Barrett-Kring model, or the calculation done with the Barrett-Kring model, was based on the use of this map, and this map shows problems because the Barrett-Kring vertex is by definition, the Barrett-Kring intertwiner is by definition invariant under change of pairing. On the right we have intertwiners that are not invariant under change of pairing. There are SU2 intertwiners and they change with 6J symbols. So the two linear structure are different. And for example, using this map, we could lose these properties, the closure relation. And I don't know, the problem on Barrett-Kring, it's not only... It's obviously the fact that there isn't intertwiner dependency in any case, because we need an intertwiner dependency when we consider the fluctuation of the dihedral angle. And we could put here a state, the intertwiner dependence only on the state, but it would be only at kinematical level. And in the dynamics that doesn't speak with this degree of freedom that in the quantized theory is needed, it's a problem.
More questions? Hi, I'm a bit confused. How much scope are you going to use to develop the different kinds of time, not just the area of the campus? Does it mean the linear theory and the linear area of the campus?
No, the problem is in the variables, I think. When you speak of areas, you are speaking only of J's. But if we introduce the non-diagonal action here is the one that call into play the dihedral angle. So it's not only the area regi calculus, but also there is the problem of the angle between these areas. And the Barrett-Kring model is... in some way, it has frozen the degree of freedom of the angle between the areas. So the image is, for simplex that is able to fluctuate in the areas, but it's not able to fluctuate in the angle between these triangles. So if we do only area regi calculus, if we look only to the diagonal terms, there's no problem. But if we look to the non-diagonal terms that involves the intertwiners are new degree of freedom that are the Barrett-Kring dynamics doesn't know anything about them. So maybe that the new model proposed by them it's based on a 15J. Maybe that the asymptotic of the 15J is the one that will give this asymptotic behavior, and we could be happy if the things match.
More pressing questions? Thank you.